Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, 5021 East Columbus Drive in Ybor City, home of the best devil crabs in town. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of one of the best draft parties this area, Tampa Bay, has ever seen. We took the roof off that mother. Phenomenal food. It's all fresh, and it's the only place in Tampa where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. It's at the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend. This is a real movement of real people. Yeah. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't feel my face and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. More happy. Let's get it.
Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks!
Voice is back, feeling good. I'm ready for the end of preseason and get me to September 10th. Bucks, Dolphins. God, it's what we've all been waiting for, haven't we? If you're heading to Miami and you're a stick carrier, man, I need you to take over that stadium. I need you loud. Let the Bucks know you're there. That's how stick carriers, that's how we roll. We bring the atmosphere no matter where we go. And if you are not going down to Miami, there's only one place for you to go. But get there early. We are expecting a capacity crowd. It is the JoeBucksFan.com, Bucks Uncensored, Stick Carriers opening day watch party. We are going to be at Abe's Place Tap and Grill in Clearwater on Missouri, just south of Gulf to Bay. It will be the biggest Buccaneer watch party in Tampa Bay because it's in Clearwater. I need you there, and I need you loud. We're asking everyone to get there as soon as possible. The restaurant opens at 11. I would be there by 11:30. Kickoff at 1. At 12:30, we're going to be giving away jerseys, hats, autographed merchandise, whole bunch of stuff we're going to be giving away at 12:30. Kickoff starts. We've got $5 buckets with 5 beers each. $1 a beer. $1 a beer for those buckets. Incredible. Incredible. It is an official stick carrier event, and we are happy to partner with Joe Bucks Fan. Everything that they've done in partnering with us, they have believed in this podcast and this movement since the inception. and it has continued to grow. So again, Abe's Place Tap and Grill, 1250 South Missouri Avenue in Clearwater. Okay, just a few minutes south of Gulf to Bay. It'll be on the right-hand side if you are coming from Gulf to Bay and turn left onto Missouri. If you head south on Missouri. 44 craft and draft beers on tap. $5 buckets, as I talked about. They got those giant wings that win awards every single year and aim to get there by 11:30. Abe's holds about 225 to 250 people. So it is going to be capacity. It is going to be packed. We need you there early, and we need you there loud. And if you are wanting to take part in the biggest Bucks watch party in the Tampa Bay area, you better be there. You better be there. And I look forward to seeing all of you. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be real loud. It's going to be awesome. All right, we're going to talk a lot about the roster itself. Obviously, last preseason game coming up Thursday night. If you're going, great. I'm not. The last preseason game is, it's just difficult. It's just, and I'm not going to get into my personal life too much, but I have had a fucking hell of a week, okay? I negotiated a new lease on a place that I'm going to be living in, and I mean, they fucking, these fucking places, man. They tried to fucking take advantage of me, and I was going to call them out by name on the podcast, but I mean, I was at work today, and it's my busy time of year at work for what I do, and I'm good at what I do, but there's a lot. It is nonstop, and I was already on edge, and it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get to work from West Chase today because there was an accident, and it took me just an hour. It took me 45 minutes to an hour just to get out of West Chase, where I live. So I was already on edge. Then they sent me an email, knew they were fucking taking advantage, but unloaded on these people until they honored their original agreement with me, which they were supposed to do. And then I had to go negotiate a new car as well. So not for me, but for somebody else. So. My adrenaline has been going since about 6:45 this morning, and it's going to continue going now. So we're going to dive right into this. I'm not going to be able to make it to the game Thursday night, but I am going to speak softly until we get to next Sunday. By the way, if you came out to Todd Wright's fantasy football extravaganza at Hooters on Hillsborough Monday night, thank you. A couple of guys wearing stick carrier shirts. I have their pictures up. Where did I put it on the Facebook page, but I had it on Instagram, Snapchat, and all that. So thanks to you guys that came out wearing stick carrier shirts. Todd Wright has another draft coming up on Monday night, Labor Day night, at the Hooters on 4th Street in St. Pete. I will be there as well. That's the plan. So I look forward to seeing a bunch of you out there. I know a lot of people couldn't make Monday because of the rain. It was raining horribly. So hopefully you can make it out Labor Day night. Should be a lot of fun. This past Monday was a blast as well. So should be great down there in St. Pete off of 4th Street, which is a great location as well. Let's see. That's taken care of. So let's talk about this final preseason game. Nobody's making the roster or probably getting cut just from this game alone. Okay, it's a part of the puzzle. Okay, I get it. When Dirk Cutter says that this is Jeremy McNichols' chance, last chance, they pretty much know what they're going to do, right? Whether they're going to keep him or not. You know, I'm not going to go through the roster. I'm sure others do it, and I know I've done it in the past. I'm not going to go through the roster and say they're going to keep Deshaun Jackson. They're going to keep Adam Humphries. They're probably going to cut Shaq Hill. I'm not doing that. I will talk about some of the guys that I think are on the bubble. I will talk position by position, and we're going to talk about players around the league at key positions that the Bucks might need. That may have some players come available. I got a story off NFL.com off of some of the key names that could be cut. and some of the names that have been floated about as potential trade targets outside of LeSean McCoy. We all know LeSean McCoy has been a topic of conversation. Todd Wright and I were both on Ira Kaufman's podcast on Tuesday, so go and listen to that. We talked a lot about running backs. I'm going to talk even more about running backs on this podcast, but outside of what we talked about on Tuesday, some other names that could be out there. And, you know, how important is that position? Because all we hear is, oh, running back, you can get running backs anywhere. But the Bucs haven't been able to get running backs anywhere. So is it that the Bucs aren't doing a great job in finding those running backs? Or maybe running backs a little more important than just waiting till the fifth round to draft a running back. All right, so let's go through the roster. And I'm looking at the Bucs offense first. And I was looking at this just before I started the podcast, and I was like, damn. I mean, the depth on offense is some of the best depth I've seen the Buccaneers have on that side of the ball in a long, long time. I mean, just a wide receiver, and we know about the four, right? DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Adam Humphries. We know about those four. But I'll tell you what, some of the next few decisions they have at wide receiver are actually going to be difficult. And why that is relevant is this is a team, when they've had injuries in the past, have had to go out and get the guy from the Jaguars who got hurt last year. Fuck, I forgot his name. They've had to throw out Russell Shepard as a special teams guy. Dante Dye. And Dante Dye is still on the roster and still playing now. But, I mean, we're talking about when Dante Dye was an undrafted free agent. He had to play significant minutes. Now you're looking at guys like Freddie Martino, Bernard Reedy, and they're actually playing well. They're good route runners. They catch the football. They make some plays. That's what you want out of your fifth and sixth receivers. But how many receivers are the Bucs going to keep? Are they going to keep six? If they're only going to keep five, that's a very tough decision to make, because then you throw Josh Huff into the mix, and you know how are they going to figure out? I think Bernard Reedy is valuable enough because of the speed he has, because he can make plays after the catch. But what he did in the punt return game on Saturday night against the Browns, that to me is very impressive. And boy, that's good to have on your roster. So I just look at Bernard Reedy and Freddie Martino as two guys I'd like to keep on the roster. And if that's five and six, so be it. You know, a tight end, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, Luke Stocker, Alan Cross. Most likely those four guys are going to make it. Alan Cross played a pretty big role as a fullback and as a tight end last year as more of an H-back. So I think that's pretty good depth. You look at the offensive line depth. We know about the starters, Donovan Smith, Kevin Pamphill, Ali Marpet, J.R. Sweezy, Damar Dotson. Don't sleep on Leonard Wester. You know, he's the guy that they had fill in at right tackle. I think he has bypassed Caleb Benenonk and might be the guy the Bucs are now grooming to be the future right tackle on this team. Joe Holly, Evan Smith, Caleb Benenonk is still there. Now, while Wester might have overtaken Benenonk, remember, Benenonk does have that versatility to where he can play tackle or guard, and either Wester or Benenonk can step in as that sixth offensive lineman that Dirk Koetter has shown to like to run, especially in running situations. So, I mean, when you're talking about an offensive line with five starters and then maybe four, usually it's three or four backups. You're talking about eight or nine offensive linemen, but the versatility they have with those linemen. Wester can play either left or right tackle. Benenonk can play right tackle or guard. Joe Holly and Evan Smith can both play center or guard. That's tremendous depth at offensive line. Tremendous depth. Having that kind of versatility with each of your backups is so, so valuable. A quarterback, God, I wish Ryan Griffin would have stayed healthy. I really, really do. There is concern about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you know me. I'm not huge on the backup quarterback, because if Jameis Winston goes down for an extended period, just lose, because you're not going to have a shot. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not saving the day. What you need from a backup quarterback is if Jameis Winston misses a week. Dare I say 2 weeks. You need a quarterback that can just manage the offense. And I don't know if I've seen enough from Ryan Fitzpatrick to do that. And they've been grooming Ryan Griffin for the past few years. They've kept three quarterbacks on the roster. He has been the guy that has been in the background that they have been grooming. I would have loved to see him get an opportunity to take that backup quarterback spot that I really think that they were grooming him to take once Glennon left. But due to that injury, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the guy. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they kept three quarterbacks again. And then that leads us to the running back spot. Doug Martin suspended for the first three games. So now the question is, where do they go at running back? We know Jacquizz Rodgers will end up being the feature back. Charles Sims is nothing more than a third down back. But then you have Peyton Barber. Is McNichols going to make the squad and then get cut once Martin comes back? And, you know, the debate continues on. Doug Martin, they're going to trade him. They're going to cut him. He's not going to be on the roster. Well, we got to look at the, because if Doug Martin's not on the roster, they better have gone out and found somebody else. Because if Doug Martin's not on the roster, and you're looking at an entire season with Jacquizz Rodgers, Charles Sims, Peyton Barber, and McNichols, you're in fucking trouble. I mean, you're in big trouble. Because if Rodgers goes down, who are you going to go with? Sims? He can't run between the tackles. You're going to go with an undrafted free agent from last year in Barber or Jeremy McNichols, who's been the most underwhelming draft pick of this entire year? Maybe. Well, maybe Justin Evans. Jeez, if I could trade Justin Evans and McNichols to trade up into the second round and get another running back, would I do that? Yes. Fuck. I digress. It's fine. It's fine. You never know how this is going to play out. But you know what frustrates me is leading up to the draft, and this has happened several years, but leading up to the draft, it's not just me. We were all talking about it, the need for a running back. Are they going to get that in the first round? Well, O.J. Howard was on the board. You don't have to get it. But man, this draft was deep at running back. You had an opportunity to get running backs in any round. We talked about Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook falling to the second round. What a bold move that would have been to trade up in the second round and get one of those guys. No. All right. They didn't. What about Marlon Mack in the fourth round? I mean, McNichols is a fifth-round pick. You're telling me you couldn't have come up with something to move up into the fourth round and get Marlon Mack? You definitely could have. They didn't. I hope that running back does not come to bite this team in the ass. As I said on Ira Kaufman's podcast, Jameis Winston's got a ton of weapons around him. Two tight ends, bunch of receivers, lot to work with. That's great. Weapons for Winston. But Jameis Winston is at his best when the running game is going and he's got the play action. These running backs don't excite me all that much. I'm hoping that the offensive line is that much improved, and I think it will be, that it'll make these running backs look that much better. But even Doug Martin, he's got spring to his step. He's got quickness, agility. Yeah, he does. But he also, when he does make that juke and he jukes a guy out, and he's, you know, maybe trying to bounce it to the outside, he doesn't have the speed to get outside. On defense, the Bucs have pretty good depth along their defensive line, but the question is, who are going to be the guys that actually get after the quarterback? We didn't see much of a pass rush this preseason. And I think when you look at the starting four, when you're talking about Ayers, McCoy, Baker, and Golston, those guys aren't the best of pass rushers. And McCoy obviously has that talent to get there. But when you're talking about Ayers, physical, Will Golston, physical, Chris Baker, physical, you're not talking about elite burst off the edge to get to the quarterback. So then we're talking about third down situations. And, you know, Noah Spence didn't really flash all that much this preseason. They need him to come on in year two, and they need him to come on in a big way. Jacquee Smith has been out injured. George Johnson has never gotten a sack with the Bucs. I think Lambert got injured. Ryan Russell is a developmental guy who I still like, and I think he's got a lot of natural talent that they just have to tweak and turn him into the pass rusher that they need him to be. But, yeah, I mean, to me, there's some concern there. And needing to get creative with how they're going to rush the quarterback, and it might come down to blitzing. We know Lavonte David can rush the quarterback when he's called to. Quan Alexander was not in there Saturday night. He is the key focal point of the entire defense. He is the heart and soul and emotional leader of that defense. They need him in the middle. And Kendall Beckwith has shown enough to me. Now, him and Bond were battling it out, but Beckwith really showed the ability to step in and be a starter at linebacker. We know Bond is going to be there, Adarius Clanton. And to me, Riley Bullock has to make this team. He has to. I think he's got the he does. He has the mentality I want on my football team. He has the mentality to be a great special teams player. And if called to action, and that he reminds me a lot of those old, not old, but, you know, the Patriots linebackers of the last decade, where maybe they didn't start off as a starter, but slowly but surely they got groomed into that position. And when given the opportunity, they took full advantage of it. And I think Riley Bullock has shown that type of ability and potential that maybe he just needs these type of opportunities. He got an opportunity this preseason. I think he took advantage of it, and that's a guy I want to see covering kicks and punts during the regular season. So let's make it happen. Let's keep him on the roster. Defensive backfield, after the starters, there's some question marks, you know. And don't jump all over Ryan Smith. And I know, I think Lou in his Bucks take, and we'll have some Bucks takes coming up here in a moment. Lou and others have pointed out to Ryan Smith, and Ryan Smith is still a liability. But a guy who's, you know what, in his second year now, coming out of Coastal Carolina or wherever he came from, small school, developmental guy as a third-round pick, he's going to make mistakes. But I'll tell you the positives I've seen from Ryan Smith is that while he has made mistakes and he has allowed receivers to make some catches over him, he's also shown some flashes, some ability, plant the foot, drive on the football, almost get an interception against the Browns. Those are the flashes that give me encouragement that he's going to continue to develop, because again, nice size speed combination, and if he can put that all together, he could develop into a very good cornerback in the NFL, which is why the Buccaneers are not going to bail on him. Javion Elliott and Robert McClain will be your nickelbacks, and other than that, I think the rest of the corners will hit the road. And the four safeties, I don't think there's any surprise here in Conti, Tandy, Justin Evans, and J.J. Wilcox. The question will be, Josh Robinson, is he going to be a player they can keep on that can play corner, safety, but mainly as a special teams guy as well? All right, so positions, and I don't need to go over the special teams, but positions that the Bucs need to keep a close eye out. And maybe this is another wave of free agency, because it seems like there's a lot of recognizable names on the bubble as we head down to a cut down day. But running back is key. There's always running backs that become available. I'm sure Jason Light and his staff are keeping an eye as to which running backs could become available. I'm going to talk about a couple of them. I just want to talk positions here for a moment. I think corner, as I just said, you got Hargraves, you got Grimes. Ryan Smith, are you ready in case Grimes were to go down or Hargraves goes down? Is he ready to step in and play a significant role? I don't know if he's ready for that yet. So I would look and continue to look at cornerbacks that'll be available maybe after the cuts or, and I don't know what the Browns are asking for Hayden. Maybe it's worth a call. I mean, if they're asking for a lot, then maybe you shy away from that. And the same goes for a guy like LeSean McCoy. Ah, LeSean McCoy, he'd be great. Well, you know, that might be what the Bills are asking for him. Who knows, second-round pick or whatnot. And they seem to be loading up on draft choices. But 29-year-old running back, you know, maybe they cut him. Maybe they don't. Maybe another running back gets cut, and you're like, well, we could just sign this running back and not give up anything for him. To me, that would be the way. So anyway, running back, corner, kicker, keep a close eye on the kickers around the league as to the ones that were actually in battles. Good. Maybe a team just had two good kickers and they got to choose one to go with. Maybe that's the chance for the Bucks to pounce on one of those players. So those are the positions I would keep a close eye out for. You're always looking for pass rushers. Every team's looking for pass rushers. Every team's looking for a dynamic weapon in the return game and whatnot. But those are the positions where if I was Jason Light, I'm looking running back, cornerback, and kicker to continue to build my roster. Now, one player that Joe Bucks fan is keeping an eye out for, and they found this story that the Cleveland Browns are entertaining trade offers for their 2015 first-round pick, Cameron Irving. Remember, he was the offensive tackle, moved to center, became a first-round pick. The Browns tried him at center, didn't work. Now they're trying him at right tackle. He got injured, and now they're willing to listen to trade offers. As I just went over, the Bucks seem to have really good depth along their offensive line, and I had heard a while back that they really liked Leonard Wester, and he's developed so much in a short period of time that if they feel like they're developing him to replace DeMar Dotson maybe as soon as next year, there's no sense in going out and overpaying for a guy in Cameron Irving who really hasn't done anything in the NFL. I mean, he'd be living solely off of what he did in college. And remember, he was great as a center at Florida State. But before that, when he was a tackle, I don't think he was that. No, he wasn't that great. I think he was a third-round pick as a tackle. He moved to center and all of a sudden bolted up to the first round. So I think I'd steer clear of that. All right, let's go to NFL.com. They have a list of how many players here? 13 players that could be cut on as potential surprise cuts. So not all these guys are going to be cut. First one, Brock Osweiler. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. Lamar Houston for the Bears. Not sure he's a fit for the Bucks. Again, I think the Bucks are looking for more of a pass rusher. And, you know, he's coming off his second torn ACL. Not getting any younger. Jamal Charles could... I think Charles ends up staying with the Broncos. Here's an interesting one. Ryan Matthews, Eagles. Matthews still recovering from neck surgery because of repeated trauma he's suffered running the football. The Eagles are fully expected to release him before paying him $4 million, but they need to wait until he can pass a physical to avoid owing him the money. Matthews is currently working hard at getting healthy so that he can help another team during the season. So that would be interesting, but coming off of neck surgery, that is a concern. Torrey Smith, Nelson Aguilar, a couple of receivers at 5 and 6. 7 is Deion Lewis with the Patriots. I think when you look at what the Patriots have, Gillisley, James White, Rex Burkhead, most likely Deion Lewis going to be out, the odd man out. And, you know, again, every running back should be under consideration for the Bucks. Alfred Morris, another name mentioned here with the Cowboys that could be released. Brandon Albert, offensive tackle Sammy Coates from the Steelers, Victor Cruz from the Bears. Ahmad Brooks has already been released. And then here's an interesting one. Carlos Hyde for the San Francisco 49ers has had his injuries during his career, but Kyle Shanahan said he was going to be quote-unquote sick and dreaming of rookie Joe Williams if the team didn't draft him, according to Peter King. John Lynch, general manager, wound up trading up to get Joe Williams, who wasn't even on his draft board. So that's how much Kyle Shanahan loves Joe Williams, and these are just names, and this was a story that was a few weeks old. I just wanted to throw some names out, and honestly, when you look at some of those names and how they've progressed, Brock Osweiler, the number one, are any of those names going to be truly available once the cuts do come down? Now, here's a story. This is off of Bleacher Report. Just came down a couple of days ago. Brock Osweiler still on that. D'Angelo Hall for the Redskins. Jamal Charles also made that one. Here's an interesting one. Sheldon Richardson for the New York Jets. Kyle Fuller, corner. Stephon Anthony for the Saints at linebacker. And that was it. So no really key running backs there. Jason Light's got to be active. Okay, this is a team that is primed to win. Had this discussion with Ira and Todd Wright on Monday night for Tuesday's podcast. They're primed to win, but not desperate to win. See, that's a fine line here. Okay, they don't need to be desperate. I have said with you, the stick carriers, on this podcast, that when you look at the prime positions in the NFL, coming all the way from Bill Polian when he talks about prime positions, pass rusher, left tackle, quarterback, cornerback, guys who could score touchdown, wide receiver. I mean, think about this. Wide receiver, Mike Evans, young. Jameis Winston, quarterback, young. Left tackle, Donovan Smith, young. Vernon Hargraves, corner, young. Noah Spence, pass rusher, young. I mean, these are the prime positions on a football team, and the Bucs are young at each of them. And I don't know if that's by design or not, but when you're young at those key positions and they can all grow together, you look at this not as a desperate time, but as just the beginning. It's kind of like the stick carrier movement. This is just the beginning. We are still in the growth mode. We are getting the word out. People are recognizing us and wanting to become a part of it, not realizing that this isn't a membership. This is about we just want to create an environment that is beneficial to our football team and helps our football team win, period. And so I hope we are able to do that. I hope you enjoyed just some of the names. I think Cut Down Day is going to be very active this year. And I just wonder if not only the cut down period, but also the trading period, teams looking to trade players and whatnot, how active other teams are going to be, if this is going to turn into a mini free agency period over the next few days leading up to the first full week of the regular season. Let's do some Bucs takes, and let's do them next.
Bucs Uncensored.
All right, Bucs Uncensored. I mean, they're gonna have Bucs. You gotta improve the music. I'm gonna have to make the Sandstorm one of the rejoins as well. I'm gonna dive deep into this music thing. Okay, it's not 2003 anymore. No more Black Eyed Peas. No more that bullshit. No more Crazy Train. We got it. Okay, we've heard it for the last 15 years. Cool. Time for something fresh. Time for something new. Damn it. I mean, if you just want to be lazy about it, just be lazy about it and just do what you've done for every year for the past 20 years. But if you want something fresh, if this team's window is just opening and you've got a fan movement like the stick carriers just starting, do you want to continue to do what hasn't worked for the last 10 years? Or do you want to try something new? Expand your mind, please. For the love of God, we are begging you to expand your mind. Let's start some Bucs takes. Let's start with Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Justin. It's your boy Tony Tega again from Section 112, and I let something as silly as work get in the way of dropping a long-awaited man hug on you and marching into Ray J with you on Saturday, so my sincerest apologies to you and my fellow stick carriers. As for the game, you know what? I'd rather talk about something more important to me than an exhibition game, and that's our fans. As you know, I sit in Section 112, and I sit behind two pretty recognizable Bucs fans. Something occurred to me as I sat there and did my best to lead the charge in creating a home field advantage that I feel our team has earned and deserves. I saw we've got a lot of work to do to get our fan base to where we want it. Now granted, it was a preseason game, so I get it. Only total lunatics like us are going to be going nuts for a pass rush to destroy Cody Kessler. But as this was happening, I couldn't take my ears off of the negativity from the people in front of us. Oh, our pass rush is garbage. Our offense sucks. We drop everything. This play calling is terrible. Justin, it took every fiber of my being to not go Bucks Uncensored on their asses. And once again, I get it. The Bucks have stunk for a minute. But Jesus, it's a preseason game minus half of your starters. Relax. Relax. There was one great improvement from last year to this year, however, and it's the people sitting behind me. It went from, well, let's be nice and say two people that were grossly out of place inside of an NFL stadium to two loud, passionate season ticket holders. Guys, if you're listening out there, thank you for encouraging me to stand, because it was damn frustrating being yelled at to sit down last year while I'm trying to pump up our defense. You guys are stick carriers, even if you don't know it, and I'm happy to have you in our section with us. Well, Justin, I'm going to draw a line through this Skins game, much like everybody else, because, hey, Miami's right around the corner, and I'm ready for the rubber to hit the road. I've been waiting for a Bucks team this deep and this talented for a long time. To those stick carriers on that stick carrier bus coming with myself and the 112ers to Miami, let's take Hard Rock over, and let's send Jay Cutler's sorry ass back to retirement. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Stick carriers! Let's get to work, baby.
Let's get to work. Have a great time down there and be loud. Make sure you're wearing those stick carrier shirts. Let them know we are there. We are everywhere. William's up with us. Hey, William.
Hey, Justin, what's up, man? I just wanted to thank you for everything you do. You've done a great job getting this fan base together, all these diehards that have been fans through even the tough times for years on years. I've watched Bucks games since I was a kid, and I've always believed in this team and the talent we have, and you're finally making this fan base want to step out and show that we're one of the better in the National Football League. Because when I was at the Saints game last year, there didn't even have to be a stick carrier event. It was insane. The fans were going nuts. I was up in the third level, and I was just watching all the Saints fans just have to sit in their seats and watch Drew Brees throw pick after pick, and it was beautiful. But I really just want to thank you for everything you do. Training camp takeover was miraculous. I was there. I only thought there'd be a couple hundred, if that. And I show up an hour early, and there's still a line around the building, and I'm just like, holy shit, man, this is unreal. And it was such a cool event. I got Jameis's autograph on my jersey. Caleb Benenock gave me an autographed glove. Gave it to my grandfather, who went to UCLA. It was great. I loved it. You can tell the players are behind it. And at the Cleveland game, I mean, I could hear y'all. I was in sections 126. I have a couple of friends of mine that are Browns fans, so I was with them. But you guys did a great job. One thing I wanted to say about what we said on Monday about Jameis not having thrown a touchdown, I hadn't even noticed. I watched every Bucks game from start to finish, and I wasn't keeping track of that. He's just been so successful, keeping the ball safe, finding the checkdowns more, completing the shorter passes a little better, that I hadn't even noticed he hadn't thrown a touchdown yet. I mean, it really is. He's done a great job. He's definitely earned an A this preseason. He's doing a good job with his new weapons. And about that interception, it looked like he kind of overthrew Cameron Brait, but it also did look like Cameron Brait, not that he didn't try, almost looked like he slipped or stumbled a little bit. His shoulders were down when the ball was above him, so he couldn't get his hands up to it. But it also did kind of look like a shot down duck. Jameis usually throws those spirals, so the ball must have slipped or something, because that ball was wobbling and doing whatever. Just, you know, poor communication, whatever you want to call it. Maybe the ball slipped out of his hand, but other than that, he did a good job getting the ball down the field. And once again, I just want to thank you and everything you do, and have a good one.
All right. Appreciate it, William. Thanks, and glad to have you part of the movement. And it's my pleasure to help organize these events, and hopefully we can do them for a long time. Let's go all the way out to Colorado Springs and welcome in Stroke.
Hey, what's good, Commission? Stroke from Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I'm getting so pumped up for the season, man. The new sponsors that you have with uniting the fan base with What the Buck, the Buckaholics, and all the pregame antics that are going to go down at the stadium, man. I am feeling so left out down here. Or up here, I should say, in Colorado Springs, man. And I just need to have you know, the feeling that I felt at the training camp takeover. And so, you know, I was looking down for looking to come down for a couple of games this year with my dad and looking for the most bang for my buck for one round trip airfare. So I was looking at the Giants game and the Patriots game, and obviously those are big games, but man, the single season or the single game tickets for that fucking for those two games are in the $250 range, man. Like, for two people for four games, or for two games, which is a total of four games, you're looking at about $1,000 just for fucking ticket prices. So it got me thinking, man, like, why not just move up, like, move the chips in and get some season tickets? So I've been talking to Christian, not at Headlines Barbershop, but at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers front office, who loves the stick carriers, by the way. I have that in an email from him, from their ticket office, who's working with me on potentially getting some season tickets, anywhere from 2 to 3 seats. But my problem and my conundrum is the fact that, you know, 119, 120, 118, that area right there, those three sections specifically were all sold out. So my question to you, Justin, is...
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Where should I sit if not in 119, 120, 118, or somewhere close to there? I'm going to talk to the guy and see what's closest to that corner. But if not, where else should I sit in that stadium to be near the concentrated cluster of stick carriers? So that's my question to you, Justin. It's been a long time, a little bit over my time frame here, but just wanted to say to all sponsors, B4, Bocados, Christian the Headlines Barbershops, Rock Riley, Joe Bucks Fan. I know I'm missing some, Buffalo Wild Wings. Anyways, right back into this. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.
If 119 and those sections are taken up, man, might I suggest 109? So I'm going to be bouncing back and forth in between 109 and 119. 109 is growing in the number of stick. I didn't realize there were that many stick carriers in 109. So I'll suggest it. Get there. Listen, I've been training my section for a number of years. Some of them just aren't willing to budge, and some of them are. So it'd be great to see you there. Stroke. Lou's up next. Hey, Lou.
Justin, Lou in Port Richey, man. I was looking at McNichols, man, and, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing if that cat would do anything, man. You know, I really didn't get a chance to see him with the first team. We'll probably see a lot of him with this Washington game coming up, man. But from what I understand, man, the cat hasn't had a grasp on the playbook, man, or, you know, he hasn't picked it up, man. It's like, from what I've seen on Hard Knocks, man, he doesn't know where to be. He doesn't know where he's going, man. Maybe he just thought he was, you know, because he's coming from Boise and Cotter's Boise connection, Martin being there, that, you know, he was just going to get gifted a spot on the team, man. But I think that cat's not going to make the team at all, bro. It's a shame, man, because he looked like he had some talent. But my surprise pick, man, or cut, would be if they cut either McClain or Elliott, man, over this kid Ryan Smith. That kid, I think he's a liability, man. I mean, I haven't really seen anything too productive out of him. I mean, he had a couple of plays here, and those two guys over this guy, man. But we'll see, man. But they've been pushing him, man. So that's my surprise pick, man. Anyway, man, I want to give you guys a quick story, bro, from the pillage, man. So we're over at the Pillage tailgate, and one of our fellow stick carriers, man, Rob, comes by, man, and he brings me this bottle of Colombian fire water, man. This stuff is made from pure sugar cane, man, and it's sweet. It tastes like licorice, man, but, dude, that shit will fuck your world up, man. So I get this bottle, man, and I go to the fellas, man, the 119 boys, Harold's there, man, and Rob, I'm like, hey, man, who's going to help me tap into this thing, man? Dude, everybody in unison was shaking their heads, man, as if they knew, bro. They knew better, bro. My wife tells me, man, you drink that and I'll leave you where you lie. I was like, damn, damn. You know, but my baby, you know, I know you listen. I love you, baby. She knew better, man. She saved me from myself, man. Old degenerate Lou would have drank that shit until sheer fucking blindness. Probably woken up at fucking One Buck Palace in the bushes in my underwear, bro. Woken up not knowing of my evil deeds from the night before, bro. Ah! Baby, thank you. Thank you guys for saving me from myself, man. But, you know, I'm a family man now. You know, I'm a good guy, man. I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy now, man. I don't do those things no more, bro. But anyway, let me wrap this up, man. B4, Bricados, Buffalo Wild Wings, Joe Bucks fan, BigMotherEffinStick.com, Johnny B, Samma, our boy Harold, man, from Atlanta, man. Dude, oh, man, just Rock Riley, everybody, bro. All you guys, man. Hey, man, I look forward to the next event, guys. And as always, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick!
Lou's back. Lou is back. We were all struggling a little bit on Monday's fight. Man, I could barely speak. I feel good now, but I'm going to speak softly because I want to get loud. I want to get loud at Abe's place for our big stick carrier watch party when it counts. When it's for real. Huh? You with me? All right. Steve's with me. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jimmy Palookaville. Steve in New York here. Just got finished listening to your Monday podcast. Couldn't agree with you more about the music selection at the stadium. You know, it's not going to win or lose you any games, but just the whole presentation of the game in the stadium, as far as I'm concerned, needs to improve. From the music to the video packages to, you know, concessions. The whole thing could really use a complete overhaul. Hopefully, you know, with your inside knowledge of the Bucks and their organization, you can get in there and maybe shake things up a little bit. What I want to talk about, though, since the preseason is coming to a close here, is the schedule. You know, I'm not the type of guy that will run down every single game and say win-loss. I think that's an absolute waste of time. But I do have to comment on just how crazy our schedule is. I've never seen a schedule quite like this before. At least not for a long time. We don't play a divisional game until week 8 against Carolina at home. And, you know, if you really want to get jacked up about this season, take a look at the schedule, because if we do get off to a good start, we get out of the gate nice and quick, 6 out of the last 9 games are divisional games, which is just insane. In the last 3 weeks of the season, we are home for Atlanta on Monday night, at Carolina, and then home for New Orleans to close out the year. I mean, big-time division football in December. That's what we're looking for right now. So that's all I got, Justin. Hopefully talk to you soon, and go Bucks.
Holy shit. You start to think about it, and this is why the team's got to get off to a hot start, because, man, that schedule does get tough. And here's the thing. It's tough, but every week is going to be like, yes. Every week's going to be like that Seattle game or that Saints game at home. That's how it's going to be. There's not going to be any weeks off. Got to get out to a hot start. Got to look at those first 3 games and say, all right, Cutler, Glennon, Trubisky, Bradford. you got to go 2-1 against those quarterbacks. You got to. You have to. And if they can somehow have a winning record after the Patriots game, woo. Even 3-2. 3-2 after that Patriots game, oh boy. Because remember, they were not good at the beginning of last year. And then came on strong. If they can just get through this the first five games with a winning record, I tell you what, we're going to be there with them. They're going to continue to get better. I think that should be a goal for them. Winning record after the Patriots game. Get it done. We go from Steve to another Steve.
Hey, Kamish. Hey, Stick Carriers. It was good to see everybody. My wife, Stacy, and I were up there at the Pillage. Got to see everyone, shake hands, give hugs, chant, cheer, do all that other shit that we do. Had a great time, regardless of the shitty weather and, you know, the shitty football, but that's preseason. That's par for the course. I just wanted to get your thoughts on a surprise cut. I'm not sure how much of a surprise it is, or you could even do it with an injury settlement. But Jaquise Smith, I love the dude when he's healthy, but that never happens. And I kind of feel like we're wasting a roster spot on him, just kind of praying that he can come back someday and be what he was. But I don't think that's going to happen. Just like to hear what you got to say, Kamish. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Well,
see ya.
If he's injured enough, they'll just throw him on injured reserve and he won't count as a roster spot. But you're right. You want to see him healthy. The problem is he's just never healthy. Did they flat out cut him? Well, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that you just don't really know. But as I said, I think we all have a good idea and understanding as to how this roster is going to end up. And I think you can use that across the board on many players. All right, let's go to, how about Brendan? Hello, Brendan.
Hey, it's Brendan from Hudson. I just wanted to chime in with my own little Bucks take. I've been seeing today that Joe Hayden's on the trading block, and apparently so is TJ Ward. You know, I wouldn't mind trading for one of those guys just to, you know, beef up our secondary just a tad bit. You know, Vernon Hargraves, I think, would excel in the slot. I mean, he's better. He's way better this year than he was last year. He's going to make huge strides this year. But regardless, I mean, he's going to be on the field. I'm pretty sure there's always three corners on the field nowadays anyway. But TJ Ward as well, get us a nice strong safety back there. I don't know, man. I'd like to see one of those guys in Tampa. I think it'd be good for Joe Hayden's career. Anyway, that's my Bucks take. Remember, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Trades are fun to talk about. We don't know what's being asked for those players. I mean, same thing goes with LeSean McCoy. Would I trade for LeSean McCoy? Yes. Would I trade a second-round pick for LeSean McCoy? No. So we don't know what's being asked for those players. But as I said earlier, I think Jason Light needs to be aggressive in going out and finding out what it's going to take for some of these players. Again, the team is not desperate to win, but they're ready to win. And if you're ready to win, I think you're ready to go out and be more aggressive in getting players, but you don't have to be desperate to where you have to overpay for those players. Our final Bucks take goes to Brandon.
Kamish, this is Brandon out in Oregon at Papa Bucks on Twitter. Hey, I was not able to catch a lot of the preseason game Saturday night. I'm sorry, we were on a family vacation. Some of you might have seen the Periscope video of me at the coast with my family. But anyways, I was able to catch in briefly when I was in the hotel room. And holy shit, you guys were loud. I couldn't believe it. You could see the stands. The stands weren't very full, but it sounded like a packed house. Way to represent the stick motherfucking carriers. Good job, guys! Ho! I could barely hear Chris Myers. You guys were so loud. It was fucking amazing. Keep up the good work. I can only imagine how the regular season's going to be. I hope to God I can get down there to be with you guys for a game this year. I'm trying my best. We'll see. Crossing my fingers. Maybe I'll come down for a playoff game. Ooh, maybe. Oh, anyways. Let's keep going. Let's keep carrying that stick. Let's be loud. I'm so great for the unity with What the Buck and the Buckaholics. I'm glad we're all banded together as just Buck fans, as not as a Buck family. Let's keep it going. Let's support those sponsors. Keep bringing it. Speak softly. And carry that big motherfucking stick! Stuck it.
Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those tailgate parties. You know, we were talking about it with Old School about, you know, what they used to do. 300, you know, he'd tell me like 1,000 people. And I'm thinking, man, as we are uniting together, if this team has success, there's no doubt in my mind we'll have 1,000 to 1,500 people per tailgate party. Loud. Partying hard. And the best thing about these tailgate parties is it's not like exclusive. Like if you want the food and the drink, yeah, you know, we're going to ask for a donation. But you can very well bring your own six pack and drink your own stuff. We're just looking for a meeting point for all of us to come together and then us all march into every game together. As a unified front. That's what we want. I think that's what we're going to get. All right, mark the calendar. Mark your mark whatever you need to mark for the first regular season game. It is right around the corner. September 10th, we're about a week and a half away from the start of the regular season. Big ass stick carrier watch party is at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Partnering with JoeBucksFan.com. Abe's has been a huge partner and sponsor of Joe Bucks Fan for a long time, so we're helping out our buddies at JoeBucksFan.com. We're going to have stick carrier watch parties at Buffalo Wild Wings all across the Bay Area, along with heading back to Sports Legends throughout the season. So don't worry, we'll have you covered all season long, giving you destinations to come together. And who knows, we might even make it down to see my boys down there in Sarasota. I know you're down there, Garv, Jay, the Smoking Jays. So we might make a little trek down there. You never know. Sometime this season. So really pumped about having Buffalo Wild Wings on. Really pumped about still being with the Sports Legends Bar and Grill, Bricados. We love Bricados, and they have felt the love. And I got to remind you, you know, with us bringing some new sponsors on, you know, this is about all of us embracing the sponsors, letting them know that they're the ones that have shown such a love to this podcast and this movement, and they are big-time Buccaneer fans, and they want to assist in every way, and opening up my arms to having the sponsors come out and be a part of these tailgate parties as well. It's going to be a blast all season long, and I might have another little surprise for you for Saturday's podcast, maybe even another sponsor coming on board. So we show the love to the sponsors. We love all of you as well. Follow me on all social media platforms at Commish Online, and on Snapchat it's jpulowski324, and then this podcast obviously three times a week all season long, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. You can subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean. Those podcasts, if you subscribe, download to your mobile device at noon on each of those days. You can go to JoeBucksFan.com first thing in the morning if you want them before then. And don't forget that you can always send in a Bucks take. We want to hear from you, the fans, about your team. You record it right on your phone as a voice memo. You email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. As we get into the season, I want to hear some passionate Bucks fans chime in with some passionate Bucks opinions. Should be great, and should lead to some very entertaining Bucks Uncensored podcasts moving forward. As always, we want to go right back into this in the words of the Godfather himself when he said these words, but I play them for you in a much sexier voice.
Speak softly, but carry a big motherfucking stick.
You betcha. And we just nailed it.
Hey, Tampa Bay, the bus don't have shine. Bucks.